5x5 podcast. This is episode 4, and I'm Nina.
And I'm Tanya.
And tonight we have Budget 10.
Yay!
The awesome
our
Budget
favorites.
10, yes, of Trece, of the Trece comics. And we're going to do tonight's podcast a little differently than the others. We're going to have Budget's interview up first, and then we're going to talk about our geeky stuff later. So,
absolutely.
Hi, Budget. So,
say hi to our listeners.
Hello, listeners of 5x5. I hope I'm coming in loud and clear because I don't know what I'm saying. Okay.
No, you sound fine.
You sound fine to us.
I think you sound fine.
Thank you for taking the time to visit and guest
on
the show. So we have a lot of questions.
Yes. For those who are not familiar with, for some reason, who do not know who Budget is, he is one half of the, he's co-creator of the awesome comic book Trece. It's a series of graphic novels. He created it with Mr. Cajo Baldissimo. with Cajo Baldissimo. And it's a supernatural series and set in the Philippines, set in Manila, featuring the hero Alexandra Trece. And Budget is the writer. You are the writer, right? And Cajo is the artist.
Yes. Let's pretend I am. Yes, I am the writer of the yes.
Are you planning to do a switch sometime? Like for this next book. I did the drawings and Cajo will write.
funny you should mention that. Cajo actually brought that up, but so he does plan to write some stories for the stories from the Diabolical.
Oh, that's excellent.
But I don't think I'll be able to draw anything for that. So I will just be his editor, but we'll see. Or if the readers are happy to see stick figure Trece, then yes, I will draw an issue.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
That can be a thing. If XKCD can do it, Trece,
why not?
Right. Thank you. One buyer. Tanya's my first buyer. For
yeah, yeah. And they'll be like, so what is that? It's like Mananagal, obviously. Stick figure Mananagal.
Anyway, so we're so excited to have Budget on because we are fans of Trece. I personally think that it's like the closest thing we have, Philippines has to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I love
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So do I.
Yeah, so that's why we're so excited to have you on. But we don't we actually have a lot of questions for you, Budget. So it's not going to be all about us fangirling you and Mr. Baldissimo's work. So I guess I'll just start reading some questions now. We have one from S Teardrops on Twitter. Who was the inspiration, if any, for the character of Alexandra Trece?
Who is the inspiration for Alexandra Trece? My standard answer there was that I really wanted to do a paranormal detective, occult investigator type character. And it was, you know, I mean, it was me wanting to do Batman and John Constantine and a little bit of Fox Mulder and Gil Grissom, and what I realized was that when I then mashed them all up and created Anton Trece, that he just ended up looking like a mashup of all of those characters. So I then said, well, if it looks too much like all of these other characters, then what if I turn Anton Trece into Alexandra Trece, or to you know, make her a woman, and suddenly that just made the stories, you know, flow better for some weird reason. Rather than just have another tough guy beat up monsters, it was just more interesting to see a female in the lead role. I will now retract that answer. Because
you always meant for it to be a girl, then. Okay.
No, because I suddenly realized, when was that? A couple of months ago, me and Cajo were talking about our influences and things that we want to do moving forward. And I suddenly realized, even though, yes, it's true, I love, you know, I love all of those other characters that became my peg for Anton Treze, I realized around the time I was writing or conceptualizing Alexandra Treze, I was reading Warren Ellis's Global Frequency, whose leader is Jenny Sparks, and Miranda Zero, and I was reading Warren Ellis's The Authority, which has Jenny Sparks as the leader. So I suddenly realized, oh my God, I actually was, you know, I guess unconsciously, those characters influenced having a tough female character in the lead, you know, as lead role and leading a team as well. So I guess, you know, Ellis's work, and I attribute Ellis's work in Planetary as something that heavily influenced Treze. So I guess that character, that, you know, strong female character also influenced me in molding Alexandra.
Awesome. Awesome. We have a related question from My Book Musings on Twitter. So between you and Kajo, who actually thought of Treze's look? How did you come about her designing her look then?
That's all Kajo. I mean, of course the trademark hair was Kajo's idea, because that's what his hair looks like when he shaves it all off.
Oh!
That's also an inspiration.
Yes, yes. Yes, we've been waiting for the hairstyle to become a trend, but so far no one's picking up on that hairstyle. It was Kajo who thought of the the hairline. Admittedly, her in a coat was inspired by it, and it wasn't really meant to be a trench coat, because everyone's nagging us about, you know, it's so hot here in the yes. Philippines, so why is she in a trench coat? The original inspiration for it was a Chris Bachalo drawing of Death, and she was in a Chinese-type dress, which I sent off to Kajo, and I said, you know, her coat can look something like this.
Hmm.
And then coming from that, Kajo's main inspiration for the final look of... So he took a little bit of that Chinese dress idea. If you take a look at the lapels of Treze's jacket, it's, for some reason, it's asymmetrical. And turns out, and I only realized this when I saw a photo again of this personality, he mm-hmm. based it on Jose Rizal's jacket.
That's so cool.
So if you take a look at one of those famous Jose Rizal photos, the way the lapels are, you know, one side is bigger than the other, it's actually Treze's jacket.
Huh. Okay.
That is interesting. That's awesome. So it's like, so she's like Pinoy through and through.
right. Feel Chinese, I guess.
I have another question. So I guess this is something you get a lot and probably have a standard answer for that you may or may not retract. If Treze were to be, this is from Beth Adrian, if Treze yep. were to be made into a movie or a TV show, who's your pick for the role?
Wow. I don't have any. It used to be a couple of years back, it used to be, I think, what's the name of the Rossi sister that was younger?
Alessandra.
Yeah, I think it was Alessandra.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah, because she's played like tough roles, and you know, I know a lot of people have suggested certain showbiz personalities, but they've usually played sweetie roles, so it's tough to imagine them playing a character like that. I'm sure they could try, but you know, I don't know. Or most recently, the Japanese lady in Pacific Rim.
Okay.
And surprisingly, she turns out to be the Chinese lady in the gigantic flop that is
47 Ronin. She was Chinese,
yes.
There.
I think she was a Chinese dragon, wasn't she?
Okay, so she can do various Asian personalities and countries.
Is it because we all look alike? to Western people.
Maybe it's just a career goal to do a lot of Asian roles.
Right.
Yeah. I can't. Bucket list.
Here's another question from at Dandy Galvez. The first three book volumes have the word murder in the titles. Was this intentional?
Yeah, eventually when we did think of a theme to, not really a theme, but something to just link the three books together. It did start off with, okay, thank you. A little bit of a commercial there. what do you call this? I guess it just started off because of the Balete Drive murder, and we just thought, well, we're doing book two, you know, we wanted some sort of link to that. Mm-hmm. And it just made some weird sense to make it all about murder. And yes, to answer the other question in your heads now, the next three books are all about midnight, things happening around the time of midnight.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
And if you're asking me what the next three books are, I haven't yet figured it out.
We're trying not to ask you.
We're very disciplined right now.
Thank you. Right now I'm planning to use the word unicorn. I'm just not so sure. God.
Unicorns. Why not? We have a question from @AnnPlaza on Twitter. Do you watch Supernatural, the TV series?
I try. I'm not a fan, unfortunately, but I have seen a couple.
Shut up, just kidding.
The signal just went dead. They dropped my call. What happened?
what Supernatural TV shows do you like?
I have seen a couple of episodes of Supernatural, but for some reason it didn't compel me to follow it, although my friends did say it did get more interesting as they got into the whole heaven and hell aspect of it. So yes, maybe I'll start from that season rather than the first couple of seasons. Supernatural TV shows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, as if I have time to watch anything these days.
Do you watch any of those these days?
I've caught like one or two episodes of Sleepy Hollow is what I've, you know, figured out. I mean, it's what I've done lately. What's the last one that I really followed? A bit of Fringe, I guess, comes close to Supernatural or Paranormal. What else is out there? What would you guys recommend?
Supernatural.
Okay.
I watch that. Although, oddly enough, I did not watch the Vampire Diaries, but the spin-off, the originals, is actually pretty good. You should check it out.
Okay.
it's more adult. So, yeah. I've seen a couple of apps so far, and it's been good. Yeah. And, you know, probably think of, there's a new show coming up. The first one's already aired. Helix, but it's more sci-fi.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think we should check that out. I think we're compelled as geeks to check it out.
yes, we should.
Budget, there's a question from 9moons42. Opinions on the upcoming ending of the Fables comic series?
Okay, here's another reason why you will probably just drop this podcast. I've probably read like only the first three books of Fable, so I'm slowly catching up with the series. Same with the Unwritten, which, you know, which makes me feel like I should be reading it in a library so that I can just quickly reference all of the things he's referencing in this book.
I feel that way sometimes when I read like all these works that are adaptations or at least grabbed from
all the works.
It seems like it seems like you should have been into the original material, and then it feels overwhelming that way. But yeah, it feels like you should be in a library somewhere.
Like, not for the faint of heart, yeah.
And then so you can look up everything that they reference.
Or Google does work.
Well, yeah, Google, I guess, is close enough, but you know.
Yeah.
Google. We'll do that too.
being in a library is just adds to the atmosphere. I recently actually got a gift from a friend of a friend, and turns out she knows a British comic book creator, and he put together a graphic novel called Christopher Marlowe and the Bard.
Sorry.
Yes, budget.
Sorry, Christopher Marlowe and the Bards of Nemeton. And it's interesting because it feels like it dips into a bit of what The Unwritten was all about, but focusing more on English literature as well as the philosophy. So as I was reading it, I also wanted to go into a library and research first before finally reading it. But it's like all of these authors are manifesting their ids and super ego, and they're like fighting in like different planes. And it makes me just want, I mean, it's interesting, but it just makes me want to stop every couple of pages and, you know, let me read the entire history of this guy first before.
Oh, no. It's like you have homework, right?
Right.
So, there's a question here about collaborations from Sir Neil. Any chance to collaborate with Lionel Yu, Jerry Alanguilan, or Ed Tadeo in one super comic?
Oh, that would be great. If their time ever allowed that, that would be fantastic. I mean, aside from them, I mean, there's all of the other guys who, you know, I mean, all of the comic book creators that I've been hanging out with all these years that I've never had the chance to really collaborate with. But yeah, I mean, I think, me and Jerry keep saying that we should work on something together, and we kind of started on one thing, but just it never took off. Closest I ever got to working with Ed Tadeo is, of course, editing his work when he collaborated with David Hontiveros on the Kadiliman graphic novel. Mm-hmm. But there, and of course, hey, who wouldn't want to work with Lionel Yu? But he, of course, you know, before me, there's guys like Grant Morrison, Warren Ellis, and Jeff Loeb who want to work with him. So I think I'm like down the line as far as people he'll be collaborating with.
Well, you never know.
You never know. But so. How much time do you have? Like, if I mean, we ask you these things, and it's like you could do everything if you had the time, but how much time do you actually have to write new stuff?
You do notice there is no Trece Book 6 out, right?
What? There's a Book 6? Really? We should accept that. Yay!
It's become
we don't get any pressure, you know.
No pressure.
No.
You'll just be pleasantly surprised when it comes out.
Yes. Surprise. It'll surprise me too. I used to be able to write something almost, I mean, like a bit of a story almost every night, but yes, the work in the day job has piled up a bit. It's become the day job and the night job as well. So yeah, these days I only get to write on weekends, so ever so slowly we are finishing, I'm finishing the script for the next book, so that's... but yeah, I mean, I carry around a notebook so that, you know, whenever possible, when an idea comes, I just jot it down, or a piece of dialogue. Sometimes, yes, Takambal does talk to me for some weird reason, and that the dialogue just pops up, and I just gotta write it down. And the next thing you know, they're like conversing or like they're joking around, and it finds its way into the story. So, doing it that way, I think, is the, you know, best way of getting to do a bit of work whenever possible.
Okay, should we expect some cool cameos in book six, because I think there were like a
couple.
I liked
the cameos in the last book, actually. I was in that, well, let's not spoil the people who haven't read the fifth book.
No, if they have not read the fifth book, they should be punished, right?
Yeah, they shouldn't be here.
Or they should be punished.
No, but I think that's one thing I enjoyed a lot about the last book, because, I wasn't really expecting to be doing homework, right, while reading it, and then suddenly the cameos started making sense, that they were cameos, and that I should have been paying attention. And I felt like I failed recitation that day. When I got totally shocked by certain people and certain things. So, are we having more fun stuff like that, referencing other work?
For this one, I'm not sure, but you will be meeting we are adding to the Trece cast. That is definitely happening in book six. So, you will be seeing, more of the brothers, if that's a spoiler for you.
I'm sorry, she's a huge fan.
No, I guess that's my question for you, Budget. How was the reaction that you got personally from people reacting to the family tree, like the Trece family?
It was fantastic. I mean, that is one of the constant questions that we get, aside from, you know, what happened up in the tree. It's like, when are we going to see more of the family? When are we going to see the Trece's mom? But it just makes me realize that the Pinoy really just wants to know more about your life.
Everyone
are like nosy neighbors.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your mom do? No, I like that, because I know somebody, I will not say his name, but I know somebody who said, no, like, family members, that's too much. Like, focus on Trece. And I was like, no, she has interesting brothers.
Right.
It's completely moot, of course, because, you know.
Yeah, why debate? Yes. Why debate about it, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, in the same manner that if if they can devote spin-off books to Batman's supporting cast and actually come out with really great stories, I mean, aside from, of course, Robin and Batgirl and Nightwing, I mean, some of the best stories was actually like Gotham Central, which just focused on the regular cops that had to deal with the weirdness that happened in Gotham. So, you know, I mean, we attempted to do that with Precinto 13.
Yeah, that was really cool, huh? Was that one of the things that you distributed at one of the comic fairs?
Yep.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah. I have that.
Yes.
And it was actually interesting to like stories that where Trece isn't there, but the peripheral characters are. So that was fun.
Yep. I mean, it's the, you know, it's
like a full-length graphic novel for that.
Sorry?
Are you planning to do like a full-length graphic novel for about that? Like Trece, but without Trece.
Well, I'd love to, except, excuse me, I mean, that was supposed to be Precinto 13, but Atan, our artist, got swallowed up by his day job. So it might, right now, I guess the venue for those 13-less stories would be stories from the Diabolical, which allows me, Kadjo, to put Hank in the spotlight, because he always gets edited out in the final draft of the script.
That's excellent. Oh, do we have any more questions?
Yes, we have. I'll mention another one.
Do we have time actually for all the? There's like so many questions.
Yes.
We will do our best. I'm hoping.
So we retweeted them, and Budget is tagged in a lot of them. So I hope you have time to answer the others that we can't read.
Okay.
On air, but
sure.
Here's another one from at My Book Musings. Are any of the ghosts' love stories featured in Dresa inspired by your real-life heartbreak stories?
The ghost love story. Oh, from well, yes. I mean, it's you pull from everywhere, or like that sob story you heard from your friend who got drunk and started spilling his guts. So, yes, you do take advantage. And yes, if to listeners out there, if you have friends who are writers, you will be taken advantage of, and your life will be somehow copied, plagiarized, remixed, and mashed up into some other story. So, you know,
awesome.
but yeah, I mean, or it's like, I mean, one of the things that I had fun, well, quote unquote, fun writing was the Bangungot story, because, well, spoilers if you haven't read it, it's the secret origin to what the Bangungot really is, which of course is just completely made up. But it's funny that...
No wonder my doctor did. So it was made up, but you made sort of an origin story for it.
Right. I mean, no, it's just interesting because who was that? I think I was talking to, or I got email from a foreign reader who asked, you know, where did you research this? Or where did you find this story about the Bangungot? And I just said, I made it up. but yeah, that was like a mashup of, what was that? An episode of House, actually. So it's like an episode of House, and like thinking of every single time I got heartbroken and trying to figure out why you feel this way. And then there, the idea of it, because it feels like somebody's holding on to your heart, and it just started to build from there. Then somebody's holding it, clutching it, and that's why it feels like that. So it originally started out as your typical Encanto story doing that, but somehow, you know, I just thought of giving a twist to that old Bangungot story, and it all made sense, and that ended up coming out like that.
Great, wow. Didn't know that. So, more questions? Or
well, I guess a follow-up to that one, because you mentioned an international reader asking question. How different are the reactions from international readers versus local readers? Are they reacting to the same things?
Do they ask stupid questions?
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong?
No, funnily enough, they don't. I would expect them to have so many questions about the creatures, but I guess, you know, thanks to Google and Wikipedia, it's something they can easily figure out. The questions, interestingly enough, have been mostly the same. I mean, I'm more curious, although we haven't gotten any reaction, is like stories, for example, stories like Our Secret Constellation, or of course the character we based the what do you call this, the judge in book 5. I mean, those are based on Filipino pop culture, so I guess for a foreign reader, they just take it as it's a superpowered magical being, and they, you know, they still interestingly enough appreciate the story, even though they don't know what the source material is. But mostly, I mean, from the nice feedback that we've gotten, they find our mythologies very interesting, because it is things that they haven't seen for, you know, anywhere else, for that matter. They've seen from the West, they've seen too many versions and variations of a vampire, from sparkling vampires to, you know, to half vampires and whatever they may be. So seeing our manananggal and our aswang just makes it all interesting for them.
So you'd be okay if, like, say, the CW picks up Dresa for you know,
for
a TV series.
I just have a if that ever happens, I just have a bad feeling that we'll see the Kambal shirtless every two scenes.
I will not object to that.
Why is that a bad thing? No, I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It just seems to be part of, for example, Arrow. I can already imagine the writer's room where, you know, they're writing, they're done with the script, and somebody says, wait, he's not shirtless in this episode.
Yes, there's a quota of shirtlessness in every episode. So,
yes.
It could be a good thing, I think.
Yes.
I understand you did get, you did hear from someone you're a fan of, and he apparently has read Trece. Do you want to talk about that?
which one are we talking about?
Well, you wrote someone.
Yes.
And he has read Trece, and he said he liked it.
Yes. I found the Facebook page. So I got I found the Facebook page of the director of Rurouni Kenshin, and I just, you know, decided to, you know, say hello, say how much I like the film, and to of course to Otomo, to director Otomo, and he actually wrote back, strangely enough, and he said, you know, thank you. In broken English, you know, he said thank you. Please watch my film. Yes, I have read Trece. It is great. I think or something. It is cool. I think is the way he phrased it. So whether or not he wasn't sure or not, I think you know, it was just great and really, really nice of him to reply to some random you know, letter writer, and turns out somehow, yes, he got to read Trece, because it has become, and you know, and we're really, really thankful, it has become the favorite pasalubong of people, to friends, and not just to like Pinoys abroad, but to thank you very much.
I've actually asked Mina to bring over carry copies for my sisters in the States.
Oh, so, thank you.
No, actually, they were for my nephew. Because, yeah, my nephew, he was, he's growing up in the States. He's, like, in high school now. And so I gave him copies of Trece, and he, like, loves it so much. He goes around the house saying, Mama, where is my dress? And she's like, what is a dress? And, yeah, so apparently he doesn't know how to pronounce Trece. Like, you know,
that's so, fine. Yeah, that's fine.
His upbringing has been lacking because he grew up there. So,
an update on some reactions on Twitter. No objections to shirtless Kambals from Ann Plaza.
Fine.
And just so you know,
and also from Ann. You have another buyer for stick figure Trece drawn by
Budget Tan.
By Budget Tan. So you have three buyers now.
Yay.
No pressure.
Oh. Hey, would it help if we Kickstarter yet?
Okay, here's what I'll do, because that's actually one of the ways I when I run out of words, what I just do is I sketch the little thing on the notebook. So
awesome.
I'll upload the stick figure Trece script, and if you guys like it, sure, I'll we'll make more.
Yay! Fans of stick figure Trece.
This could be a thing.
We have made it happen.
Yes. Thank you.
this is so much fun, and unfortunately we cannot budget won't be able to answer all your questions, but you know, just keep tweeting them, and perhaps when he has time later he will reply.
Most so, definitely.
But, yeah.
Okay, thank you for joining us.
Yes, on this podcast. We know you're very busy, but we're so glad you could make time for this.
Thank you very much also. Kadjo would have loved to be part of this, but yes, we're, as you can see, there is no book six. So, oh, by the way, please do follow. I mean, one of the things that Kadjo has decided, his New Year's resolution, mm-hmm. is to draw a 13 artwork every day. I mean, just to warm up. And if this is his way of warming up, I can't wait to see the rest of the pages of book six.
Yeah, he posts on his Tumblr, right?
Yes, so please do visit his Tumblr, which is Kadjo Baldissimo, hang on, at Tumblr. No, yeah, kadjobaldissimo.tumblr.com.
We'll post the
okay, fantastic.
Notes. So if you're tuning in right now, though, it's easy to follow Budget on Twitter. Just follow the hashtag. He's tagged there somewhere. But all your links, you know, to Budget and Kadjo's websites and social media sites, we're going to post them all there. They will not be able to hide from you. Just kidding.
Yes. No problem.
Yes, and but where can we find your copies of Trece?
It should be available in, of course, all of the big bookstores. So National Bookstore, Power Books, Bestsellers, Philbars. Thanks to the new owners of Philbars, started to carry not just Trece but a whole lot of local indie comic stuff.
That's so cool.
Yes, so thanks to those guys. Of course, Comic Odyssey, and for the people who are asking, as far as online is concerned, because we do get feedback from people in the provinces who say they have a hard time finding it, you can find some or most of the Trece titles in Lazada.com. You can order it from there.
Okay, and I think National Bookstore delivers too, right? Like if you order online.
Yes. Yep. You can also order from National Bookstore's website, and if you have an e-reader, you can now download the e-book version of Case 1, 2, and 3, and you just have to pay, and you can pay in pesos and not, you don't have to pay in dollars, because they tied up with Kobo.
Okay, we'll post links to all of those, so, you know, nobody has any excuse to not get a copy. There have been five books of Trescent now, and maybe a sixth one if we are very good. If you're very good fans, they will gift us with a sixth
one. And then
book.
Stick figure Trece in between.
And stick figure Trece. Okay, maybe that's what I'll do. We'll make Kadjo write it. I'll draw it as stick figures. Let's see how that goes.
You know, try something new, right?
Yes,
thank you so much. And thanks to everyone who tuned in. We will continue with part two of this show, but so that's our interview with Budget Tan. And
okay.
Thank you for joining
us. Thanks, Mina. Bye. Thanks, Tanya.